KK has made can be repeated a little bit?
Well, I mean, the main point that I'm making is that they are indiscriminately issuing the red corner notices on the mere oral allegation of a woman against another citizen of the country, a man, you know, and her and their entire family. And the red corner notices are basically instruments for, you know, capturing fugitives that are running away from the law, committing serious crimes such as war crimes and, you know, murder and terrorism and things like that. So they are using the red corner notices as instruments of blackmail, and we have enough evidence to prove that that is the case. In the case of 498A cases, many of the cases where the trials take place, the accused are acquitted, and you know, in many cases they don't even go to trial by, you know, settling out of court with large sums of money being paid by the NRI to the families of the accusers. So that's basically what I was trying to say, and also the, you know, the newspaper article clearly, you know, openly, flagrantly stating that, gloating that once the red corner notice is issued, the NRIs quickly patch up with their in-laws by coughing up the, you know, money that they are demanding.
Also, I would like to add in here is that Indian government, as well as the Indian Consular General in the in San Francisco, at least knows about this heavy misuse, because we, the Rakshak members or SIF USA members, 10 of them went in May and talked with the Consular General, the Vice Consul, Mr. Prabhat Kumar, and told him about this red corner notices being issued just mere on the basis of allegations of the wife about the husband. And he did know that all this is happening, and he assured all of us saying that, you know, nothing would happen, you don't worry. But he did not do anything about it.
Okay, now one question I have, you know, I think Satya sent me something about a person's visa being affected as a result of this, but I think he eventually got the visa, the H-1
yes.
person.
Yes.
Is there any other case like that?
Yeah. Ashok, this is Jatin here.
Yeah, Jatin.
So I wasn't constantly in touch with Ravi, who is the person who was locked out in Mexico.
Okay.
Just about a week ago.
Okay.
But the same thing had happened to me 2 years ago in Vancouver consulate, being unaware of that, you know, my ex-wife has probably complained to the Bombay consulate.
Okay.
And all that happened, I went to Vancouver, you know, without being aware that this is going on. So, you know, they told me that, you know, there's some flag on your passport and we need to do some investigation. So then it was same Christmas time and, you know, people probably were on vacation or something. So I was stuck there for 2-3 weeks. And they sent a request to Washington, D.C. for more information. And then I came out neat and clean. And they just called me and at that time there was not so much awareness, so whatever articles I could get from, you know, newspapers and searching through Google, I downloaded, printed, and I took it along with me, including my divorce decree and all that. I was already divorced at that time over here. So he just asked me what is going on, and I told him, you know, this is what is happening, and I am being, you know, there's an you know, they want a high sum of money from me and et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't tell me anything, didn't ask me anything. I said, do you want to keep these documents? He said, yeah, if you want to leave it with me, I can keep it. And he said, your visa is granted and you can go. So the same thing I told Raju. I said, if these things are happening to you, it means you're coming back into the country. If it's not happening, then you're staying there.
No, it's
and exactly the same things happened. We were every day on a daily basis, we were in touch with him. And, you know, things got resolved for him the same way.
No, I see. Okay.
So I think, you know, I think the U.S. government is very well aware of that. And if they know that it's related to 498A, then I think they take it a little easy, it looks like.
Yeah, one more thing I want to add, this is KK here, is that the red corner notice is basically a request to all the international police organizations of the member states of Interpol to immediately place this individual that's mentioned in the red corner notice under arrest and initiate the extradition for proceedings. That's the meaning of the red corner notice.
Okay.
Right. Now, you know, there's for today's call, I actually wanted to, you know, share with you something else also, because I thought that was also the purpose of the call. Like, not only red corner notices, but, you know, the passports being case, this is like probably 3.5-4 years old case. You know, same 498A against me, my father, my sister, and my brother. And basically, we immediately filed for a quash in Madras High Court, and then the, you know, the charge sheet and everything happened, and the case started in the lower court. We went to the High Court again and asked for a stay order. So the High Court gave us the stay order saying that the lower court proceeding should not begin till the quash matter is going on. So they even stayed the order, considering, with looking at the facts of the whole case, okay? And they also basically permitted my family not to be present for every hearing. We got, you know, we got so many things because of, you know, whatever the judge who was there, he saw that probably it's a fabricated case. Even after that, all these things happened, they used their, you know, my, the other party, they used their influence or whatever. The commissioner or someone from the police sent a letter to the External Affairs Ministry with whatever, just the way they sent it to the consulate. And as of today, my father and my sister's passports have been impounded. Now, this is affecting my married sister's life because my brother-in-law is sitting in UK. He's working for HSBC Bank. And now they are separated because of this whole matter, because of this whole matter.
Okay.
Now, what was the reason? We even represented ourselves in the Gujarat High Court as to what these are the sections according to which you cannot impound our passport. And, you know, there is nothing, there was nothing we could do about it. And their passports have been impounded. They cannot go out of the country. So the purpose here is that I'll be sitting here. They want me to be separated from my family. Not only that, now my married sister is getting affected because of this whole matter. It means now my, you know, even it has come to an extent that my brother-in-law is willing to give up his job in UK and go back to India.
And but have you, have you not appealed against this decision, or have you taken it to the Ministry of External Affairs?
No, so, you know, we didn't go to, the only channel to go to Ministry of External Affairs is you go through the passport office in Ahmedabad, the, whatever the head passport, or who. So Minister, External Affairs Ministry just sent a letter to the regional passport office to cancel the passport. So
oh,
we
yes.
tried to do with them, and they're saying, you know, you go to External Affairs. So now we want to start that process also, but I'm saying we went to the court, and, you know, they said, court said, well, you should just go do a representation to the External Affairs. I mean, but how do you approach External Affairs? Can everyone, you know, is it a Tom, Dick and Harry's job? Do you think everyone has the capacity to do all those things? You know, the bottom line is
connections to do that. You can't do it without connections.
Exactly. That's what I mean. External Affairs is not like any other ministry here. Right. But what is going on? Or what is the basis? There are criminals who are murderers and everyone, who they're sitting there, nothing happening to their passport. What's the point here?
Actually, they were trying to do the same thing with Seema's mother recently.
To whom?
I was just going to talk after he finished.
Oh, okay.
What was going on with whom?
Let Jatin finish.
What you were saying?
You can carry on, yeah.
Okay. Ashok, I am of acquaintance of Bibu Bose from
okay.
Bombay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. I can talk to you later to reveal more details about this, but my father expired and my mother is alone in India. And the girl, she has sent in a request to impound her passport right now. So the court is in, the case is in hearing, and I'm sorry, I cannot talk right now.
No, okay, no problem. We can talk later. No problem at all.
So, Ashok, the point is that, you know, I mean, I know you asked me a question that, you know, you haven't approached the External Affairs.
Right.
Does every person or every general man in India know how to approach External Affairs? You know, there's no way. I mean, you know, we are trying to look into the Right of Information Act and all these other things.
Uh-huh.
We have done the lawyers. Frankly speaking, I don't trust every lawyer in India. Okay.
And also, I would like to add over here,
the Gujarat High Court, and we are now just trying to figure out as to what's the right way to do these things. But the point is, it has been a year and a half, and, you know, on the basis of what? Just because of a complaint, you can't impound, you can't keep go around in the entire country and keep impounding passports, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this person
I mean, you can't. What I meant was that forget the ex-ministry. Can't you appeal to the court itself to you know, give you back the passport?
No, but so the problem, Ashok, is that depending on the court and the judge, the amount of security that is demanded is different. For example, there are people who got back their passports for security of 50,000 rupees.
Okay.
For example, in my brother's case, the security that was asked was equivalent of 20 lakhs.
Oh,
so we were not able to furnish the security, so that's the reason why he lost his job here, and he had to stay back in India. Right now, his passport is still in the court.
And the amount varies depending on the city that you live in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. No, and here the judge also in Gujarat High Court when we appealed, because we got a request from Gujarat Regional Passport Office. The judge probably he didn't want to take a risk with the external affairs, so he said no, you go and fight out over there. What does that mean?
Okay.
We are coming to you because we think that you have the authority over it.
Right.
Could that
so I don't think even the judges know the law in India. I don't think anyone knows about law in India.
No, they don't actually. That is really the truth. Everybody is doing their own thing.
I would actually add another point over here, Ashok.
So he let my sisters and my... And eventually what happened since this thing was going... So they requested like in April of 2005, we immediately approached the High Court. And they said to make a representation in 10 days. So we immediately approached High Court. And this whole High Court thing went on for 6-8 months. After 6 months, we received a letter from Regional Passport Office that you haven't come and approached us yet. So we are just going to go ahead and impound your passports. But the thing is going in the court. How can you just go impound the passport? You know? So this is the whole matter, man. I don't think no one knows about the whole thing. And people are just using the system left and right to, you know, I mean, does my father or my sister-in-law, my sister, do they have any criminal record that you would just go and impound the passports? And I know why, you know, they want to do that, because they know my sister and my father, they have visas to come to the U.S. And, you know, basically they want to pressurize me and my family.
That's the blackmail.
Now, in most of these cases that you mentioned, I mean, approximately, like, percentage-wise, how many cases are there where the NRI groom, the husband or the husband's family had to actually pay money to the in-laws or the ex-wife to settle the matter? Like, would you say...
I have right now put 25 lakhs on table, and they're still asking for more.
Oh, I see.
We have already offered them 25 lakhs. They have all these different kind of conditions. That they want all the jewelry from our side. They want to keep 25 lakhs. They need 10 lakhs in white and 15 lakhs in black. And all this.
Wow. Jatin, is that you?
Yeah, this is me.
How do they make these? I mean, is this a verbal verbal demand? Or
no, yeah. Why through the community and all that stuff, you know.
Definitely. This would not be written anywhere because they can't do like that. For official purpose.
And still, I think the 25 lakhs is someone from our side was trying to convince them that forget about it, take this money and just live your life. But I think they're still expecting more. It's not going on. I mean, the talks have again broken at this point of time.
Okay.
I would like to add another point over here.
He started with a figure of 50 at that point of time.
Ashok, I would like to add another point over here. So the security they ask or the amount they ask for settlement is totally baseless. Okay. Now, you might have heard about Jessica Lal murder case.
Yeah.
In which the co-accused Manush, this guy, DP Yadav's son, Rajesh Yadav or some Vikas Yadav, you know, he has been convicted and you know how much a fine has been imposed on him?
5,000 rupees.
2,000 rupees.
Yeah.
2,000 rupees, okay? Now, this guy is co-accused of murder. And now, just think about, in order for Uma's brother's case, they're asking 20 lakh security when this guy has no criminal background and the only case filed against him is just, not even case, it's just accusation. So, you see the irony?
Yeah.
And this woman... Abu Salim's girlfriend or wife, who was a film star,
Monica Bedi.
I'll just kind of ask, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, she got 5 years of prison, but she got, I think, 5,000 rupees of... I have to corroborate the figure, but I think some very nominal amount for this passport fraud.
Forget about that. You know, this guy Abu Salim, after doing all these things and being extradited and everything, is thinking about fighting elections in India.
No, he was. He was until the election commission came and said, you cannot do that.
Yeah, but so people do have that aspirations also.
Yes.
And they were even allowed to think about those things.
Isn't there another co-accused in Jessica Lal's case, who a woman who is actually abroad, and
Bina Ramani.
They are not even doing anything about getting her back home?
That was Bina Ramani, who was not the, who was the person who... well, that is beside the point, actually.
Okay.
I think we should stick to the point about, you know, the... I think that Ravi's case, Ravi Bhatt, who recently won, he... the other side was asking for 40 lakhs rupees, right?
Yes.
So I think this is, you know, if you look at the statistics, you know, a lot of cases are either acquitted or settled out of court. Most of the cases settled out of court is basically, you know, by paying whatever ransom they are seeking.
No, but is Naveen here on the call? I am always intrigued by his case. Naveen, are you there?
I can call him and ask him.
The entire family has been acquitted, but he still has a red corner notice against him.
Been acquitted by the court?
Yeah, acquitted by the court. All 498 charges have been dropped. They have been acquitted. Naveen is the only guy who hasn't been tried yet, but I mean, I think 6 other family members were accused and they all got acquitted. But the red corner notice still stands against his record.
And also his wife, who accused him of 498A, she is in the U.S. for all this time. She's in the U.S. Okay, so there were other questions. Actually, Ashok, another angle we want to bring to the whole this debate is... marriage is an integral part of everyone's life, whether he is an NRI or not an NRI.
Right.
Indian government is holding this annual conference at Delhi from 7th to 9th of January, talking about NRI issues and all, but they have conveniently forgotten all this that is happening to, you know, countless number of NRIs, and they have been telling them what all good India is doing for the NRIs. The minister comes over here when we personally went and met with the minister. He acknowledged the issue and he showed his unwillingness or, you know, that he won't be able to help because he cannot go against the women organizations. He has said that in front of you also, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is the person who was responsible for getting the totally trash booklet of marriage to overseas Indians, that booklet out, okay? That, and they have not discussed anything about that booklet or anything which they have they are in the process of releasing. I think PBD is a Pravasi Bharati Divas is a very important occasion in which they should talk about these issues. And in order to, I don't know what's going on with the Ministry of Overseas Indian Affairs and NCW, but whatever they are doing in terms of women, they always pair up with NCW. And NCW is well known for, you know, alligating men, or they are well known for anti-men. And they are getting...
In fact, if you know, yesterday only I was looking at this news item where NCW says that women cannot be tried for adultery. So, you know, apparently men can be punished for 5 years, but women, even if they are committing adultery, they are victims. So, you know, this is what NCW...
Well, because even in that adulterous relationship, they are the victims.
They're the passive, they're the hapless victims.
Right.
Even in adultery.
Yeah, actually, Ashok, it is a very important point over here that the National Commission for Women, which is given the judiciary powers, if you know, that they can summon anyone and the person is required by the court to appear in front of NCW. This is the same organization which is saying that in a, if a woman is in an adulterous relationship, she cannot be tried. But the person she is with, that person can go to jail on criminal counts, okay, for 5 years. But even if the woman is proved that she is doing the adultery, she cannot be tried. And this is the organization Ministry of Overseas Indian Affairs is partnering with and coming out with the booklet which says for all the failed and fraudulent marriages, Indian husbands or NRIs and their families are responsible.
No, but
in fact, in Naveen's case, it was exactly the same. His wife had an adulterous relationship with somebody. And,
my
case to Uma.
Who? Who is that?
This is Jatin here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so I guess you basically get screwed both ways because, you know, she can...
Uma, sorry for the interrupt, but I think what most of these women, because if they run to India and they're sort of writing to the NCW, what they're claiming is that most NRIs are very expert at fabricating, falsifying videos, and, you know, that the NRIs have just fabricated the evidence against them of being in an an adulterous relationship or something.
Hey guys, this is Avril from Minneapolis. I just wanted to add, I don't know if that person is on the call, but I have had a counselee call me, and he had proof that the DNA test of his baby proved that he's not the father. And basically the girl worked in the call center, and she was clearly having adulterous relationships with other guys. And the moment he found out and he had the photo...
Can I interrupt for a second? Do you have a speaker on or something?
I do. I'm actually talking through my hands-free, and if I put it on mute, then you wouldn't be able to hear myself as well. So just to let you know that even though the allegations from the husband's side are getting supported by strong evidences, scientific evidences such as DNA tests and all, the moment a girl's adultery is found out, or any other vice or sin or any crime that she's done is found out, the guy gets slapped by 498A. So it's not a matter of whether we can substantiate it with an evidence or we cannot. At the end of the day, since she has a cognizable law, she can always slap it. So we have to expose the government that this is the tool that they have given to the girls, that whatever they do, whether it's adultery or crime, abuse, I myself am the victim of physical abuse, and I won the case in US, but I don't have any provisions to go to Indian authorities and file a case against my wife. So basically they can go scot-free.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have to really go in a very rational way. The first part is that the way the 498A Criminal Procedure Section is worded, there is no defense for the man against false allegations and accusations. So that's the first point. And the second point is most of the upwardly mobile women, you know, who are knowledgeable about these laws, that they're ready to misuse them, and the government is abetting and aiding them in their misuse by using the instruments such as red corner notices and so on. So I think that's the rational sequence of the argument there.
Well, plus there is no punishment meted out, even if they're proven to be lying or, you know, misleading the legal system.
Yeah.
I guess Ashok is probably aware of all these
subtleties.
Right. Yeah, and I also want to add that the judges in India should be aware of some of the conditions here. Like if somebody, in our case, the girl said that she was beaten and dragged all the way to Atlanta airport. And, you know, this is something that we all know is not happening, because you cannot just beat somebody and drag them and not have anybody question about what's happening to that lady.
Right, right.
So this is very obvious to us when somebody tells us this. We know that this is pure lies. But in India, when somebody hears it, you know, in India, sometimes it happens when husband people, they just hit each other and sometimes nobody cares. So they think maybe the same kind of thing happens here and nobody raises a voice here. So
same story about the Wipro gentleman, right? He allegedly killed his wife, and he took the dead body all the way to Mumbai, and he cremated her without any of the relatives or any of the authorities knowing. I mean, who are you kidding here? A dead body goes across the Atlantic and nobody knows. And the Indian authorities are framing charges against guys based on these allegations.
Okay.
It's very obvious to us
from here that these are bullshit, but in India people like are very ready to accept these bullshit as, you know, as truth, gospel.
Hey, Ashok, I would like to add another incident over here, which is very relevant, and I have all the proofs by the newspaper articles published. So, and also I have the video proof also through the Aaj Tak reporter. Now, there was this lady who fell out from a multi-story building in Russia.
Oh, you told me.
Yes.
About it, yeah. And she was taken to Calcutta, right?
I have the Russian newspaper which says that this was an accident as investigated by the Russian police. The guy and his parents take the dead body to India and they are arrested in the airport on the basis of 498A and the dowry death. Now, this is simply outrageous that the Indian police is denying the jurisdiction of Russian police in Moscow and their investigation. Now, with all these incidents that we are citing you, and an NRI comes know about that, do you think he would have guts to go to India and face Indian judicial system?
Right.
And then, that's a frank point. I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't want to go to India, right?
I mean, we have done good things. We have worked hard. We are praised by our managers, our companies. We are praised all over the world. And the Indian system is saying that we are a bunch of crooked and liars and, you know, anti-woman and woman beaters. And that everyone else in the world is wrong and stupid to believe that we are intellectual and honest people, but Indian government knows the NRIs inside out.
Well, I think that MOI person, what's her name, Sandhya, whatever.
Sandhya Shukla.
Sandhya
Shukla.
Right. So she, from what I've heard, is friends with Renuka Chowdhury. And Renuka Chowdhury had prepped this guy, Valiva Ravi or whatever his name is.
Yes.
Before he came, actually he admitted, you know, I mean, that, you know, later on that, you know, he'd been fully prepared for his visit to the U.S. to talk with NRIs about this issue. And I think Renuka Chowdhury had met him before he came to the U.S. And actually Sandhya is also close with Girija Vyas. So what else are you going to expect? Everybody's going to work hand in glove with each other and you're not going to get any benefit.
Now, Ashok,
yeah.
Another thing which is very important and very relevant in all this, you know, NCW and Women of Ministry of Women and Child Development is Renuka Chowdhury. I don't know if you know about Renuka Chowdhury or not. She is the Minister for Women and Child Development in India, and she is the one who brought this domestic violence law against women in India.
Right.
Okay. You probably won't know, and we have the evidence from the newspapers that her daughter was married to an NRI in United Kingdom, and within few months she came back to India, filed a false 498A of harassment and all, and the unsuspecting in-laws, when they arrived at the airport in India, they were put into custody.
This was in 2002. But they suppressed that, and actually
she
approached that guy, Chandrababu Naidu, to suppress the whole thing, and it just made a paragraph in the Indian Express or one of the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And the case was filed by Renuka Chowdhury, not by his daughter.
And actually, her son-in-law is an ophthalmologist. I mean, they make a very good living, and the father. This guy's father, you know, I mean, the ophthalmologist's father is a wealthy UK-based person, like a businessman in the UK.
Now, this is another point that we need to really highlight is these successful professional NRIs, why would they want, you know, pittance of a dowry from or a gift of, you know, furniture or some crap from their in-laws? You know, 99% of the cases, we don't need anything from them. In fact, on the contrary, we were spending on them. So, the question.
No, no, also, I just wanted to point out, I actually checked the website about the definition of dowry per the Indian law. So 498 was, I think, designed in somewhere around the 60s, and the amendment 498 section A was made in the early 80s. By 498 section, the definition of dowry was something which is very... hello?
Yeah.
Hello? By the law, the definition of dowry is some real property or something that is exchanged which is of very significant value. It's not about furniture or a bed or jewelry, because jewelry is generally, it's a gift. If a girl gets it, it's called sridhan because it's a gift. If a guy gets it, it's his gift and he has rights to it. So basically, it's not considered a marital property even during a divorce. So dowry, the definition is so misused.
No, and the other thing is, why would such intelligent guys be so stupid as to think that we'll first marry and then ask for it, right?
Yeah.
If you want something, you'll first get it and then marry. So why would somebody act so foolish that they'll think, oh, after marriage, let me ask and see if it works out. It works out, otherwise I'll ruin my life and my marriage and, you know.
Right, funny. They claim nothing was paid at the time of marriage or nobody asked for it, but after the marriage, you know,
right,
like people made demands. So isn't that stupid?
Hey, Satya, can I are all the points that Ashok needs to? So this article is about what?
This article is
about
the article is about all the misuse and how NRIs are feeling and how they are angst against the Indian government and how. What all they have been praying and requesting to the government has totally been ignored and has not been...
The reason I'm asking is because I guess a lot of things Ashok already knows because we have spoken to him.
Right, yeah.
So why don't we focus on things that he really needs to know for
Ashok, this is Jatin here. Ashok, this is Jatin. So regarding, you know, the impoundment of the passports that's going on that my family is facing, if you want to, you know, cover it in a few lines, I'm okay with that. And you can just use my first name for that.
Okay.
I might be dropping off the call because I have to be somewhere.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I think...
Satya, can you summarize all the things and then we can see if there's anything else we need to...
Yeah, actually, that would be... I think Ashok would be more appropriate person for that because he's the one who
basically, most of it I know because it did two stories also, but basically about the Redcon notices which you told me and I read that article also.
Yeah.
Only thing is this Deccan Chronicle article, if you could send an English version to me, you know, that could be a background.
Yeah.
That is one thing. And the second thing, anything about the visa, one person, you gave the case of the person who went to Mexico and he had a slight problem getting back. These two things. And these are the only new things, I think. And of course, I'll mention that the NRI is upset about this. And
And also passport impoundment, that is something new that has been taking up shape, right? So,
before it becomes a reality, I think it's not a bad idea to say that this is on the cards.
I'll tell you what is happening is, give me just a second, you guys go ahead, I have Jatin calling me. Yeah, Jatin? Yeah.
Yeah, so Ashok, I think this passport impoundment...
Yeah.
Even if there's nobody right now in, like for example, we already have Jatin who's who has a case, it may not be, not every one of us has the same problem, but I think before it becomes a common issue, just like Red Corner notices, we don't want 300 passports being impounded in the city of Hyderabad.
Okay, Ashok, another thing is...
Uma, we have my case too. So, in our case, it was either confiscate the passport or every time she goes abroad, she's a widow who's alone there, she has to take permission of the court, which is pure harassment.
And also, Ashok, so I think I mentioned it to you earlier, this guy would not like to quote his name, but he is from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And he got a letter from the consulate from I'm confused if it was Houston or Chicago, to notify him that his passport has been impounded and please submit his passport to consulate office as soon as possible. This guy was on green card on the fifth year, and he had applied for the American citizenship. His father-in-law is a crooked guy. He is an IPS officer in Hyderabad for IPS officer for land and revenue, and he was suspended for a couple of years because of the wrong things he has done during his tenure over there. Hey, Avro, don't talk. Okay, so now this guy actually had to submit his passport to Indian consulate because he didn't want to go through the trouble of fighting with Ministry of External Affairs. And then when he appeared for the interview for his American citizenship, they asked for Indian passport, and he had to tell that he does not have, because he had to impound it, he cannot lie. He was denied the American citizenship too.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to tell.
Yes. So now this guy, his father-in-law is playing all the right cards with the help of the crooked judges in Hyderabad, and I'm sure the people in this call would affirm that how corrupt the judiciary and the police system in Hyderabad alone is. And this guy and his wife, okay, this is also very important. His wife, when was asked under deposition in the US court about the cases in India, she mentioned she has nothing to do with it because his father is handling all those cases. He said,
oh, I see, okay.
Because 498A can be filed by any relative of the woman.
Okay.
So his father is playing all the cards, and this guy is does not have an Indian passport. And he's denied, or his American citizenship has been called off. So he doesn't know what to do. He has called me a couple of times in last 6 months asking me for advice. So these are the cases that is happening with the help of, powerful people. Because Indian Passport Act says that your passport can be impounded at any time by Indian government. So they are using that act. So just the mother of all the problems is this badly written 498A that you can invoke a criminal case against anyone just when you feel bad about something. You can go and file a criminal case. And because of that, the case is criminal in nature. It is triggering all the red corner notices, passport impoundment, extortion, and all the problems of similar kind. And the government is well aware of it, but they are tight-lipped and they are basically controlled by NCW. I don't know what NCW wants from all these NRI husbands and their family members. And I don't think this MOIA booklet was properly highlighted how stupid it is. And I, probably it would be important if you can highlight.
Does Ashok have the copy of that booklet?
I think Satya sent. Yeah, send me a link. I think.
Yeah, I
the
can actually send
one
you
and the one we wrote, right?
Yes,
yeah.
I can send you the link again, Ashok, if it helps.
Yeah, send it across to me once again.
Sure. So it is very relevant that this kind of very hard hitting article comes before Pravasi Bharatideva was on the Newswire.
Okay.
We
actually,
are also
going one step further.
Yeah.
What the Indian government is planning is that since dowry is not recognized elsewhere in the world, so they are going to try and twist that and put all those cases in a different category so that then they can pressurize the foreign governments with whosoever they have an extradition treaty in place.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the attempt is to get people back to India no matter what.
And
so that is on the cards.
So there was a very relevant point raised before Ashok joined, was they want, properly phrase it, but they want the money from NRIs no matter what. Either they want them to invest in their their projects in India. If they are not willing, then they extort the money out of NRIs in different way, which is, trying to extort money through extradition and red corner notices. So basically, Indian government wants NRI's money no matter what. They will get NRI's money one way or the other.
By hook or by.
Okay, now most of these red corner notices, they are from Andhra Pradesh? I mean, or they are from other parts?
Right now, yes, a lot of them are See, while they claim that most of the fraudulent marriages are from Punjab, I don't know exactly what the case is. They claim that most of the fraudulent marriages are from Punjab, but there are 300 red corner notices from Hyderabad.
I think it's because Renuka Chaudhary is from Hyderabad, I think.
I know, this is so ridiculous. I mean, there is no correlation between, you know, that's what it sounds like.
It also depends on how corrupt the lawyers are, and I think now the lawyers in Bombay also are getting informed about it. So they have been telling that, okay, now there are new treaties coming up, we'll extract, you know, the guy, we'll get him here and all those things. So it's coming to Bombay too.
Yeah, I think it will spread, because, you know, whatever is a good money-making mechanism,
yeah.
I guess they have pretty much... they have the
it's
market.
A business.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, in answer to your question as to why, you know, since most of the cases of fraudulent marriages are from the villages of Punjab, well, maybe there isn't that much money to be made from the taxi drivers and the lorry drivers and whatnot, whereas there are many IT guys from, Hyderabad and the surrounding regions.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, okay, you know, let's extort these people. And, like, you know, since Renuka Chaudhary is cracking the whip, so it's easier for her to push for those things in Hyderabad.
And actually, we must, and it's up to you, Ashok, but it is important that we highlight this forgotten point that Renuka Chaudhary filed a false 498A against...
Well, we don't know...
Actually, we don't know if it is a false case or not.
You can call it a false 498. All we know is that she had her daughter's father-in-law arrested airport based upon a 498 charge.
Yeah, I think that's the accurate statement.
Yeah, yeah, that is much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't know what basis the divorce was granted. It could be something, it was something else, I'm sure. So.
Right. I mean, you know, the guys were very wealthy and she wanted to get money from him. You know, I mean, the daughter's husband, and in fact, now she's found another rich industrialist, you know, for that same daughter, the divorced daughter.
And she is also into making the documentary for Harassed Woman or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
Did you already talk about having...
Is Gender Bender.
Okay.
That's the movie she's co-directing with somebody.
Okay, and I think Indra was saying something.
Did you already talk about having at least some kind of inquiry done before these family members are arrested and thrown in jail? You know, at least some kind of decent inquiry where they do, and they just don't care. As soon as a girl says something, it's the law and taken. So at least have some kind of inquiry done to find out if these charges are true or false. My father had to, just because a girl said she left all her ornaments back in the U.S., which is totally untrue. The judge just read that, I don't know if they read it or no, or just heard her lawyer say that. And my father was asked to give around 1.5 lakhs for anticipatory bail. So, just, you know, it's just hearsay and action is taken on it without any kind of inquiry.
Seema, a mom is just held for 11 days, all right, with a policeman twirling his gun on his table and all kinds of crap. So this happens to everybody. So it's hanging...
What did you say?
My mom and sis were held for 11 days. The condition
11
was...
days?
11 days. In our case, the magistrate, the cop, the public prosecutor, everybody else was bribed, and this happened as recently as October.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was here, and they want me to get here without, you know, they just want me to get down to India. I refused. I just said, I'm not negotiating.
Sorry to interrupt you guys. Which city was it?
Hyderabad. I mean, they were held in Karimnagar, which is a district outside. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell Ashok is, this is across the board, it happens to almost everybody. And because you're NRIs, because, you know, you've come here, you have savings, you've worked your whatever off, and you've got to where you are, very easy targets.
Yeah, plus I guess what they do is, so some cases they are trying to get the guy back by
attacking
their parents. So, for example, keeping a mother and sister in jail for 11 days, is one way to see if the guy will come back. And then I guess the condition in his case was also that they had to keep going back, right, every week?
Yeah, they had to go there for 6 weeks until my sister went to the DGB and filed a complaint. So everybody's actually in line now, but...
I guess the bail condition was that they had to keep going to the same court in Karimnagar until this guy came back to India.
Yeah, I showed up.
Yeah.
So because we kind of held on, because I pretty much said, fuck you, they couldn't do anything. But still, I mean...
Now, so basically what they try to do is they try to do this many ways, and eventually if they don't get a hold of you, they will be doing this red core and all these things. So I guess...
Actually, my mom and sister were threatened with a red corner notice against me and an extradition.
Ashok?
Yeah.
It might be relevant. I don't know if you want to quote it or not, but you might have already known or heard about the very famous false 498A case against the Ambati family in New York.
But that's pretty old by now.
But basically the point is... it's the same mechanism. They were tried, you know, to extort $500,000 by this good-for-nothing woman and his her father. Okay, and the court case went on for 3 years until these guys produced the tape saying, you know, in which the girl's father was saying, everyone from the police and the judiciary, and I know this is a false and fabricated case, so if you give me $500,000, I'll drop the charges. They provided the case, and the girl then took back the case. She had the audacity to take back the case rather than court quashing the case.
Okay. Yeah, so, I remember that.
So this has been going on for.
Well, if they had quashed it, then you know that would have gone against the woman. But obviously, to protect the woman, they allowed her to take the case back.
Well,
That would have become a precedent for other cases, right?
So, I have a proposal. Why don't we send Ashok?
I think there are a few
cases here that are going to be anonymous, and there are a couple who are willing to go on record.
Yeah.
So why don't we compile, why don't people who are willing to let them, their whatever thing about the passport retcon just be reported?
Well, I think...
The one person who's been very, vocal and is pretty public is
Gopi Lalwani.
He's on every website, he's on, you know, the MOI website, he writes using his own name, and he's put all the particulars down. So,
So basically what I'm saying is, for Ashok's convenience, why don't either one of us or let pretty much everybody who's willing to share their information. I guess if Gopi is not there, one of us can do it for him.
Right, and I think last time, I think three or four of you sent it, and it was very helpful while making the report.
Okay. So I guess we'll send out a message in the group to the people we think have a good case to be presented to represent this particular issue, and then so that, you know. Otherwise,
what we can do is, they can send it to Uma or Satya. I don't want to flash Ashok's email address on the group. Otherwise, people would copy him also in.
Send it to either Satya or me.
Yeah.
And I or him will compile it and send it to Ashok.
Can one of us who is in the call just take the meeting notes and put the points in the bullet form for Ashok?
I thought you already recorded it.
I have recorded it. I can put it on the web so Ashok can download it.
Yeah,
I guess that should help, right?
Okay.
I can do that. That would be helpful.
Okay, sure. That's not a problem. So, Ashok, just a question. When do you think this might come or hit the
wire? I'll do is, tomorrow I'll be very busy with my paper, so I'll write it Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
And by Friday latest, I'll send it.
Okay.
And generally, as I told you last time, probably it takes about 4 or 5 days, maybe up to a week for them to release it. So, that will still be in time for the NRI thing.
Okay. Sure. And if you have any other questions or guys in the forum, if you have any other point you want to raise, just do it now. Otherwise, let's stop the call because it's already too late for him also.
Yeah. I think we should wind up.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Ashok. Thanks for taking your time out.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.